there a mountain in front of you? The doubt says we'll never move, and you wonder, will God make a way?
Tell me a time He's not been faithful. Tell me a morning His mercies were new. Tell me a moment He was able to carry you through. Tell me a day He was less than almighty, when He could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time. So be strong in the Lord and remember, this faithful to faith and stand firm.
Yeah. Yeah, this thing we get shut up all week, without no phones, without no TV, and talk about Jesus all week. Ain't that wonderful? Ain't it wonderful? All right, everybody all right?
No, Pastor, we're not. This morning I'm going to stand up and tell you that... Okay. Yeah. ministry, I had an accident and it changed a lot of things for me. And I give the blessing to God that I'm still able to stand today. And walk. And that's a blessing, but I learned something in this blessing too. I always learned something. God doesn't do anything to me without letting me learn. And I asked certain people to pray for me. This one young lady prayed for me, and you know, not an hour later, she messaged back, "How are you feeling?" She was looking for an answer for this. God answered her prayer.
Right.
And it kind of made me think how many times I've thrown up a prayer and never really expected an answer.
Yeah,
just
thinking about that.
You know, and I'm feeling good with Marie. Yes. I'm standing on 2 feet. So, how many times have you prayed? And I know kids do it, but I know it's so awesome to do that.
Yeah.
But grown people have it. So. I learned and I learned.
So we grow out of faith, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we can trust him. Well, let's give you a few thoughts tonight. We'll start in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Then we'll go to Ephesians chapter 2. Then we'll preach just a little bit out of Luke chapter 15. All right? Give you some thoughts tonight. I want us to listen to some things. Sometimes we preach to see people saved. Sometimes we preach to just magnify the Lord alone. Sometimes we preach to edify the church. Sometimes we warn. Sometimes we feed. And there's different types of messages. I don't know what you'd call this tonight. So you figure it out. All right? But I believe the scripture will help us if we listen. All right? Everybody ready? Let's pray together and then we'll read a little bit. Father, we come tonight. We thank you so much for the service already. Thank you for the singing and for the ones that sang. Lord, what a blessing. And Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here this evening, for your goodness, your grace. Lord, I am excited about camp, but Lord, I'm excited just to be in your house tonight. This might be the last time I get to come, and Lord, I want to praise you. And Lord, if this is my last time to come, I get to see you face to face. I long to see you. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Take me or come and get us, whatever you want to do. Lord, I just can't wait to see you. And Lord, I know that your promises are true. Now, Lord, help us tonight, I pray. Speak to every heart. May you be pleased. And Lord, may you be magnified and glorified. And tonight, may we be obedient. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Been preaching to the church on Sunday nights for the last little while. We want to go there again tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 15, he said, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Now let's look again here in Ephesians, I believe. Again, let's see if I can find it here. Let's just go back to Luke. We won't read in Ephesians no more. Luke chapter 15. We read about it being the household of God, the pillar and ground of the truth, the church, the family. It says even there in Ephesians, it'll talk about the family of God in heaven and earth, named. Talks about us being one. We've been preaching on this for several weeks. But I want us to look tonight even as a relationship with family, but I want to look at it in a complete different way than what we would normally look at. Look in Luke chapter 15. We're going to talk about here. We see the lost son. We call him the prodigal. And I want to look at it in a different way tonight. Let's start in verse 11. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land and began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they began to be merry." Now when we started there, we talked about how the Bible talks about us being one, and being a church, and being an army, and being a family, and a household. And we read here an account about a household. There is, I was listening to a preacher preach, and he said something very, very plain and simple. He said, when we read the scripture, there's always a spiritual and a scriptural interpretation. And that's the way it's meant. That says one thing, and that's all it is. It means what it says what it means, and that's it. But there's many applications. Many applications. Everybody understand? There's one scriptural interpretation, not a private one. It's one that God has directed that we take from the Word of God. But there's many applications. And right here in Luke chapter 15, we can look at many applications. And I want us to look at that for just a minute tonight. Not very long, just a few quick thoughts. To start with, if I look at the scriptural interpretation, Jesus is talking to Pharisees, he's talking to sinners, he's talking to publicans. He starts out talking about a lost sheep, and then a lost coin, and a lost son. He's trying to get them to understand the relation of where they was at, what was needing to be done in, well, for the Jews, what was needing to be done with the people that he was eating with. And it's just a simple interpretation of the seeking of the lost, getting back where they belong. That's basically the simple interpretation. Everybody okay with me? But then I've heard it preached about just a lost sinner, a way needs God, and how they waste their life, and then they come to themselves and come to God. I've heard that application. Have you heard that application? I've heard some preach that it's a Christian that has got backslid on God, sideways on the Lord, missed the wrong road here, got out of place, and it's his journey back to the Lord. That's a good application. We've heard it preached many times. Heard it preached as an application just on a relationship of a father and a son. How they need to get along, and how the father's always loving and giving. We've seen applications as just the love of a father. And all them things work. All them things are good. But we're going to look at something different tonight. How about if we look at it as a church? How about tonight, instead of we thinking about a lost son or a backslid son, how about we think about a wayward church? And see if we can't find some similarities to us tonight as a wayward body. Or what, if we're not careful, what we may become. Maybe a warning tonight that we not be a wayward body. Can I tell you that in the last little while I've been working trying to get permission to reopen a church that has been closed down. Told the men that last week in the men's meeting, and we'll know more later on. But this church had church for years, founded in 1853, hasn't had church in it the past 6 years or so. And I've been looking to try to get it reopened, not to leave and pastor another church, but that we might work and extend our arms and see some people come to Christ. All right, we got enough preachers in here to keep the doors open, keep something going. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
But what has concerned me is that this church used to have church. It used to have church every Sunday, every Wednesday. It used to have youth groups, see people saved, see people baptized. Now it sits empty. It sits empty with a piano and a PA system and a movie projector screen. It sits empty with the piano still in tune. The songbooks are still in the pews. The Bibles are still in the pews. Everything just there is just molded, mildew, nobody in it. The power's turned off, nothing happening, wheelchair ramp, baptistry, everything just ready just to have church, but it is no longer having church. Talking to Dennis Legg the other day, and he said that, we were just talking about something, he said that, I don't know if he had done it or one of his preacher friends that went to a church that was like that. I was telling him about this church, and he said when he went into the building there on across the wall, it had said years ago, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know that verse, and you've seen that probably on church walls before. But the church had been left desolate, and the W had fell off. And it didn't say, where there is no vision, the people perish. It says, here there is no vision, the people perish. The church had become wayward. I want you to understand tonight that it would not take much for any church to be wayward. It would only take just a little bit, and the church would be empty, and we could have that same thing happen right here at Mountain State Baptist Church. The church will never be no more than what we allow God to do through us to have it. Now, God is not because God can't do. God can do anything He wants to do. But we are the body. We're the part of the body for this place. And what we need to be careful that we don't become wayward like we've seen individual people become wayward as a whole church. Now, can I tell you that everybody in here tonight, if you're not careful and being part of the body, you become wavered, then the church will become wavered. Do you follow me this evening? Now, we have a good time around here. I believe we have a good church. I believe we got great people. I believe I enjoy what goes on. I enjoy some of the services we endure. I don't like the dead services. I don't like the normal, what we would call normal, this humbug, slow. I like camp meeting style, wide open, people shouting, testifying, people can say, I'd like to see that every Sunday, every service, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, people calling through the week. That's what I would like to see happen all the time. All right, and we can do that if we just get out of the world. We can do that. You know, if we would just have camp mentality all year, we would have that before the year is out. But that's another message. But what we're thinking about tonight is becoming wayward, and a warning that we don't become a wayward child or a wayward body. And so many are doing it. Now, since I've been looking about this church and reopening this church, for some reason I've drove around and I've seen a bunch of these buildings that are empty and nobody having them. A lot of the Methodist churches around, you know, they're taking the property back, and the people ain't, they're just closing them down. The people can't get them. They can't afford them. The congregation, and it bothers me to think that these farmers and these people in the country have given their land and everything for the church, and then the Methodist Association has taken them and not letting the people have church and wanting to charge them a ridiculous amount of money. And now the churches are wavered, where many people have been saved back in the past, many revivals, and I've held revivals in Methodist churches. I'm not so Baptist, I won't preach somewhere else. All right, and you shouldn't be neither. All right, but nevertheless, I've been in great revivals in Methodist churches. My great-grandfather was a Methodist preacher. All right, but what I want you to listen to is these churches have lost everything. There's no Spirit of God in them. There's nobody there at 10. And then I think about the wayward churches that are having church, and God's not there neither. Where the people are there, but the Lord ain't. I'll never forget what Miss Hope told me one time. She said, "Preacher, I've got to come and be with you. I can't go where God ain't." Well, she told me years ago, 20 years, she said, "I can't go where God ain't." And you say, "Well, God's always there." Well, can I tell you, He may be in the believer's heart, but it don't mean He has anything going on in the church. Huh? Are you understanding? It's because we become wayward. We miss the path, and I don't want that to happen here. I want to see this church flourish continually and be more spiritual. But let's look at some things. I want you to look at a couple of scriptures. We're going to give you four quick thoughts. All right, four quick thoughts tonight, and about being a wayward church. All right? Now, many a church has ceased to exist. many a church has ceased to be fruitful. Do you know that there's more churches that's got Christmas decorations stored in the baptistry because they've not had nobody baptized in so many years? I've been there to where the stuff that was stored hadn't been moved for years. Well, there's a problem there. Do you want that to happen? Do you want that to happen to Mountain State? Do you want that to be here to where there's nothing happening, to where we're not getting our prayers answered, where we're not serving God, where things are not happening? Listen, I want you to be on fire. But Marcus said something, I reckon when he was back here in March, what I want for you is more than you want for you. Do you know that? What I desire for you is more, I believe, than you desire. And you don't see that. If we're not careful, we'll be wayward. So let's look at some things and see if we can... Now, this ain't the interpretation of the Scripture. This is an application. Everybody understand me? This ain't what the Bible is saying first-handed, but we can apply it to our lives. Everybody follow me tonight? Let's look again. Luke chapter 15, verse 12. It said, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto him his living." First thing I see is when a church starts demanding God instead of asking God. When a church starts demanding God, here he didn't say, Father, can I have the goods that belongs to me? He said, give me the portion that belongs to me. We need to be careful in how we talk to God and ask of God. Are you following me? We never want to get the attitude of a spoilt people. Everybody follow me? There's nothing more annoying than a spoiled kid. There's nothing more aggravating than a spoiled kid. Huh? I want this. You know? Then that's my first reaction. I don't want this. You hear me in the store. I want this. I want this. And they don't get and it's just called, they're demanding. They're demanding. Now, can I tell you when we get demanding? Are you listening to me tonight? When we get demanding is when we become pampered people. When we don't like discipline anymore. A spoiled kid is the result of no discipline. Older Christians don't have no problem being disciplined and set in place. But the younger crowd comes in, get their feelings in the way.
Right.
They run up a mint tree, all right, and they're pampered and spoiled.
Right.
I don't like it. Well, suck it up and grow up. But we become demanding to the one that's in charge. And I'm not talking about to the preacher. We get like that with the Lord and we become pampered people and demand things of God instead of getting on our face and begging God. Instead of getting back on our face and pleading with God for the things of God. We don't demand God of nothing. We deserve nothing tonight. Everything we got is far more than we've ever deserved. And we never can have that demanding attitude, and we'll do that in being pampered people, undisciplined people. Listen, if we got back to church discipline, the churches would thin out more than they are today. Because people can't take it. People can't take discipline. We can't take being told no. Huh? I mean, there's some discipline in the church. You don't fly right, get out. You know that's Bible? Does everybody hear me? Talk to me tonight. You know that if you don't do right and you do the scripture right and you call before the church and you have court and you don't do right, go out. When you repent, come back. But we don't do that because, man, you can't say that. You can't do that. And people become pampered. Then they can't go through trials. They can't go through trouble. Then they can't handle the pressures of the world because they're so spoiled. And then they demand, I want, you do. It don't work that way.
Right.
And that's what this wayward son does. He's a good example of the church. Not only pampered, how about proud? Entitlement. Entitled. Look what we've done. Look what we've done all these years. God, look what we've done all these years. You better show up. Well, I've been sitting here beside you all this time. You just didn't notice me. Everybody understand? We get pampered. We get proud. Huh? And then we watch and we get prosperity comes. And we're bad about saying, look what we have. And we compare ourselves to the church down the road or to the one down yonder. And that's what happens when we have a demanding attitude. We get pampered and we get proud and then prosperity comes. We better be careful or we'll end up wayward. Are you following me tonight? We're talking about this prodigal here. We're talking about this lost son. We're talking about that's our scripture, but we're looking at the application. Demanding of God. How about we look at that, about detoured in direction? Everybody follow me? Look at verse 13. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. We had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. They began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. So I see a demanding of God, and I see detoured in direction. All right? Now, you know what happened? He lost the purpose of the church. He lost what the goal was or the vision was. All right? And what happened was he became uncomfortable. The first thing, he became uncomfortable with the Father. Now, we read about the relationship with father and son here, and he said, give me what belongs to me, I'm leaving. So, undoubtedly, he didn't want to be around the father. Can I tell you that sometimes our relationship with the father, we don't want that relationship because we're going to have to walk a little straighter. We're going to have to watch our mouth a little bit. We're going to have to be more obedient. When I always was with my daddy, let me tell you something. I minded my daddy. When daddy was within arm's reach, if I had been falling off the house, when I fell off the house years ago, daddy was standing watching. If he had just said stop, I'd have stopped. I wouldn't have hit the ground. I'd have still been stuck there in the air until he said go ahead. You say you're crazy. I'm just telling you, I was obedient. When I was in arm's reach of my daddy, I was obedient. Because that was the relationship. Our relationship tonight needs to be that same way. But I'm afraid that our relationship is uncomfortable anymore with the obedience to the Lord. And if we're not careful, we're going to be wayward. Look, how many kids do you know today that are rebellious and they don't want to be around their parents? There's a problem when kids don't want to be with parents. There's a problem. If it's a happy home, the kids don't ever want to leave home. If it's a happy home, the kids don't want to leave mom and dad. When the kids are always wanting to be somewhere else, you better check and see what's going on down at the house. There's a danger somewhere. Now, unless they're just so spoiled and want to be entitled, but usually there's an issue going on. And it's because uncomfortable with the Father. Are you following me? We better make sure that our relationship with the Father is getting closer and closer. Huh? Because somewhere, Father's going to be gone. That relationship ain't going to be possible no more. You know that there's churches right now that's closed up that will never go again. They'll never go again. The other day we went by, what we do, Rick, we went by Brackens Creek Methodist Church. They'll never have church there again, probably. Never again. Huh? I've held revivals in that church right there. They'll probably never, ever have another service in that church. A while back I was up at Green Valley. Up there where Joe Schaefer used to pastor. The church is rotted down. I'm trying to get the church bill, actually. Trying to get a hold of somebody to get the church bill. I always want the church bill here. But it's just rotting it down. There'll never be another church service in Green Valley Baptist Church. Never. Up there at Hickory Grove. Out there where Brother Steve and Nancy live. Chances are there'll never be another church service in that church anymore. What a shame. They got rid of the benches, all the furniture. Everything's gone. The only thing there is a cemetery. Ain't that sad that the only thing at the church is dead people? Huh? Ain't that sad? You know why? Because things got out of sorts and the church become wavered. I'm here to tell you tonight, it only becomes wavered when the parts of the body become wavered. Are you following me tonight? Not only this, look what this boy done. He left home. Where had he been? Where had this boy been? Now, he'd been at home, but where had he been? Think about it now. Where was the brother at? When he come home, where was the brother? You know the story. Where was he? He was out in the field working, wasn't he? Is that where he was? Don't you allow that's where this boy had been? Are you listening to me? Not only was he uncomfortable with the father, see, he had a detoured direction. He wasn't where he's supposed to be. Now he was unsatisfied with the field. You unsatisfied with the work here? Are you unsatisfied with the service that needs to be done here? Are you unsatisfied with what has to be done to keep a church going? You get unsatisfied, you'll look for another direction. You'll look for another place. If the place you're serving don't suit you. Undoubtedly, the relationship didn't suit him and his work didn't suit him. Now, we don't have that problem here, anyway, that I know of, but my pastor used to call them in the church wandering stars. They wander in. If they can't be the star, they wander out. You know. But I want you to understand that we're unsatisfied with sometimes the field that we're working in. Are you still with me? Now let's go on down. Look at verse 14. Said he spent all. There arose a mighty famine. He began to be in want. He joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now he's uncontrollable around the world. When the church gets uncontrollable around the world and they join themselves to the world, then you can count on being wayward.
Right.
So look at yourself. Look at yourself, and let me ask you, everybody look at me tonight. How worldly are you? Are you as worldly as you used to be? Are you worse than you used to be? Was there a time that you was straight as a pin, but now you've eased off a little bit? Are you becoming wayward? Huh? Are you becoming uncontrollable in the world that no longer you have the control that you used to have? See, there needs to be some control in us. There's some things we wouldn't do. There's some places we wouldn't go. There's some things we wouldn't say. There's some ways we wouldn't act. But now, we're slipping. We're slipping. Are you listening to me? We're slipping. What did Rick tell us for years? Be careful. Be careful. That bird, that little that parrot, what he was, walked down the gate. Be careful. Be careful. Huh? Tell you what we've done. We've been coming so we can... In fact, Carl got on me today. He said, don't stand in front of the pulpit. You make me nervous. He's afraid I'm going to fall. He's afraid I'm going to fall. Huh? Why are you nervous? Am I not capable of staying on the edge? Will I eventually fall? Will I eventually fall? But wait a minute. I'm a grown man. I've hung by safety belts they wasn't safety belts, they were just slings Frank, I told you about Frankie Johnson dead dropping me off a boom truck trying to paint the church over Mount Lookout. I mean all kinds of things. I've hung right on the edge of stuff. I've welded upside down holding with one arm and leg wrapped around structure and everything else. I'm right here on the edge. Oh, what a fall. Makes you nervous, don't it? Don't it make you nervous? How come you ain't nervous living the way you live? Right on the edge.
Go ahead.
Uncomfortable around the world, with the world. We join up with them.
Right.
Are we understanding tonight? I just wanted to show you that I understand this wayward boy, what he done. But can I tell you, I see that in the church today. And you can't just preach it about everything. So you're bringing the whole body in. And I don't want us to be a wayward church. I want us to be a church that's on fire for God. But not for a name. I'm not interested in a name. I said, let's go to Mountain State. Now, I do would like people to be invited and know they're welcome here. Huh? But listen, we can't be wayward. We got to be careful. Or there'll be somebody in the future looking to reopen us. There'll be somebody in the future looking to reopen us. Do you realize that we have more piano players in this church than most churches have people? Do you know that? Do you know that the average church, Dennis Lake sent me a thing, some survey saying that the average church, they've done that poll thing, whatever it was, and the average church attendance, of Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Presbyterian churches, Pentecostal churches, is 65. And before COVID, it was 137. That has dropped that much in 5 years. Now, down where Mark said, they're a growing church down there. Things are running wide open. I mean, they running. He was just telling me today, if the people that's normally there hadn't been on vacation, they'd have had over 400 today. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But in a year's time, it could have 10. Because it's you, it's me. And we let the world, look what the world does to us. Verse 14 says, when he spent all there rose a mighty famine. You know, sometimes we waste what the Lord has given us. We waste the freedom, we waste the knowledge, we waste the spiritual aptitude that God has allowed us to have. We waste it. With our living. When he spent all the rose of mighty famine in the land, he began to be in want. When he joined himself to the city of that country, well, wait a minute, we better be careful how we join the world. Everybody look this way. You ain't supposed to have a secular life. You're supposed to have only a spiritual life as you live in the world passing through.
Right.
Let me say that again. You're not supposed to have a secular life. You can't separate it. If you're separating it, you're wavered already. You're supposed to have a spiritual life. Living in the world as you pass through, a pilgrim passing through. For whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord, the Bible said. And we better be careful. Because we're already changing priorities. Very careful. We're already changing priorities. We're already changing priorities. And we're going wayward. Because we're detoured in our direction. We're demanding of God and detoured in our direction. But here's what happens. We get desperate to get back. Look at verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son, make me as one of thy hired servants. He got desperate. Why? Because he's seen the problem. Tonight, we need to be desperate to get back. We want to live in the past. Yes, some churches want to live in the past of 100 years ago. All right? When it was just all their family and there was no problem. And it was just, you know. But that's not the past I want. I want the past when church members still go to church. How about we go back that far? How about we go back to where people are supposed to be in church come to church? How about we do that? We don't have to go back far for that. You know? When we're faithful to the house of God and the things of God. We still okay? But we're not desperate yet. We're not desperate because we're playing over here. Playing over here in the sandbox with the world. We're not desperate yet. But wait till it starts getting dark. Wait till it starts getting dark and you're playing and you're way out from home. Wait till it starts getting dark and a storm comes up all of a sudden. And you hear the noises in the darkness. And you want to get home where it's safe, but you can't get there. Do we wait too late? We're not desperate. We're not desperate yet today. Look at me today. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm telling you, we're getting ready to have youth camp, but forget youth camp. I'm talking about Mountain State Baptist Church on Sunday. That we're not desperate for our people to be saved. We're not desperate for the power of God. We're not desperate that they're going to hell. We're not broken that they're going to hell. We've got our little bit saved. Our kids are saved. The others will get saved. We're okay. I got time to play. No, you ain't got time to play. You're not desperate yet. Because waywardness has sunk in. Huh? It's not no more. Like, what? Who was it? Was it Rebecca? Rachel, which one of them said, give me children or let them die? Huh? Do we pray that? Do you pray that on God, save somebody or kill me, get me out of the way if I'm the hindrance? Do you ever pray, God, remove the hindrance if it's me, kill me? Huh? Have you ever looked in the mirror and asked God if you're the hindrance? I've told you this, I'm sure. I'm going to tell you again. Years ago, I won't tell all the people, but my Uncle Joe was holding revival at Lookout Baptist Church. He worked in the mines down Winona and then woke up to Lookout, half church, him and another man. And then they'd come back home. He'd work in the mines, walk church, half church, come back. And then the second week of revival, it was dead. I mean, it was hard. They was going 2 weeks. It was just like pulling hen's teeth. I mean, it was bad. And he stopped down there at the sawmill there in Winona. It used to be when he came out of Winona, there's an old sawmill there. And they stopped down there on the night coming home and they'd have prayer. Finally, when he got down there that night, when the second week started, Uncle Joe said, we got to pray. Now, here's how I want you to pray. We need to pray. God shows us the hindering cause. So they got down to pray, and instead Uncle Joe started praying. And said, God, reveal the hindering cause. Oh, God. I mean, calling out, begging God, call on God. And his partner there went to bawling. Said, Joe, it's me. Joe quit praying. Instead of calling my name, he said, why? What's going on? He said, I've been fooling around with a woman up at the church. He said, you mean what? He said, yeah. He said, I'm the hindering cause. Huh? And you say that, and yeah, it happened. He couldn't take the more Joe's praying. Huh? Are you listening to what I'm telling you? Uncle Joe got desperate. We're not desperate no more. We're not desperate. If they go to hell, we'll try to find a baptism or certificate or a Bible school profession and get them in heaven so we're relieved.
Right.
And they're burning in hell is what it is.
Right.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
We're not desperate yet. Might be we're not desperate because we're still easing off in that wayward direction. My relationship ain't desperate. I've done a lot of marriage counseling in 40 years. A lot of marriage counseling. 40 years. And you know, nobody ever comes to talk to me when trouble first starts. Nobody. I've not ever had one couple come to me when things just started. They always come to me when it's too late to fix it. And they're desperate. Are you listening to me? I'm just trying to help us a little bit tonight. All right? Trying to get us back on reality. Desperate to get back to relationship with the Lord. Back to the fellowship. Huh? Listen. We need to be desperate about getting to church for help. You help me. Your testimony, listen, the testimonies like help me. Your singing helps me. Do you know that? You coming in, smile helps me. It encourages me to see you. I need you tonight. Do you understand that? Listen, I can find a place to preach. I'll go preach on the street. I've done it before. Huh? But I need you. I need your fellowship. I need you to help me. I need you to carry my burden. I want to carry it, but I need you to help me carry mine. I need to see your tears. I need to hear you sing and pray. I need to see you move. Hey, but are you desperate to come? Do you say, I got to get to church? I got to get to the house of God? Or you say, oh God, I got to go to Sunday. Why do Sundays come so fast? You say nobody says that, oh, yes they do. Oh, yes they do. Oh, if I could have somebody to take my class. Oh, if I could have somebody to drive my bus. Oh, if I could have, well, that don't sound desperate to get there to me. Youth camp, oh, why do we have it when it's the hottest time of the year? Because it wouldn't be summertime Bible camp. We can't have it no other time. That's the only week that we're not in the world. We've had it the same week for 18 years, and we have trouble keeping people coming. Because the world gets in the way. You're right, preacher. See, we ain't changing it. We ain't gonna change it. That's our week. Does everybody understand me tonight? I'm talking about a wayward church. The man of God detoured in direction and desperate to get back. We better get desperate to get back. How about back to work? Huh? When he got back, he said, make me as a servant. That old boy was ready to go to work. You ready to go to work tonight? Ready to go to work? Huh? Ready to go to work? What can I do, preacher? Well, go see so-and-so. They'll put you to work. What can I do? Are we desperate tonight? You know what we ought to pray tonight? We ought to get around this altar. We're going to, Cheryl, go to piano. Y'all get ready for baptizing music soon this month. Y'all get ready. We're going to have baptizing music. What we ought to think about, God, am I going wayward? Is Mount State going to be wayward, church? If the Lord tarries, I don't know when the Lord's coming. I know He's coming, but I don't know when He's coming. In 20 years. Well, let me just ask you something. Can I say something without being seeming like I'm self-righteous? Everybody look at me a minute. Let's say the Lord don't come for 30 more years. And I'm going to give you 10 more. What are you going to do then? What are you going to do then? Who's going to take over? Who's going to push you? Where's it going to be? Where's it going to be in 10? All right? In 10 years. Now, I'm not putting anybody in the grave, but in 10 years, Brother Steve's going to be in his 80s. Brother Rick's going to be in his 80s. Brother Tom's going to be in his 80s. Brother James going to be in his 90s. All right? Brother Raymond's going to be in his late 70s. Brother John's going to be in his 80s. Brother Teddy's going to be in his late 70s. We're talking about the old heads in the church house. Brother Steve back here is going to be in his 90s. Brother Larry's going to be in his late 80s. Where are we going to be? Brother Wink's going to be in his late 70s. Where are we going to be? In 10 years, are we going to be wayward? What are you 40-year-olds going to do? What are you 35-year-olds going to do? Are you going to get back to what we used to have and the power of God and the things of God and the commitment of God, the burden of God, and the fire in your heart to keep everything going? Are you going to go to your savings account and empty out your savings to pay the missionaries? like it's been done in the past here by men? Are you going to keep the church going? Are you going to give your life to the things of God? Or are you going to let it go on to hell? Because in 10 years, that's where you're going to make decisions. In 10 years, Carolyn's going to be in her 90s. Who's going to teach your class? Betty's going to be in her late 80s. Who's going to teach your class? We're going to have Miss Hope praying for us and depending on Miss Hope to pray at home. She's going to be in glory. So what's going to happen? Huh? Mike Boley's going to be in his late 70s, him and LaDon. Clark's going to be in his 80s. Who's going to lead the singing? Huh? Are you understanding? I'm talking about a wayward church tonight. Talking about a wayward church. That we just be demanding of God. Be pampered and spoiled and proud. Oh, God help us tonight. God help us not to lose what we got. John Johnson has stood time after time and said we better be careful not to lose what we have. I don't know how many times you said that, John. Because you know how fast it happens. And I'm not going, son, listen to me tonight. It ain't been that many years that a church that John and Judy went to was on fire for God, and now they don't have hardly enough air. The Dalmatians can get everybody to go to church there, and the church wins one church van. Wayward, John, is what happens. Who would have thought it? Who would have thought it when they was 150 going and people being saved and the fire used to be in that church? Who would have thought it? I would have never dreamt it. I'd have never dreamt it. What I'm trying to tell us tonight, it ain't just a prodigal son that goes out and gets drunk or goes out and smokes a joint, but it's a church that becomes wayward because we forget the things of God, and we are the church. We're the body. We're the ones. Marcus, you're coming up preaching. Someday you'll probably pastor, unless you're something better sense. But I wonder what you're going to pastor. What are you going to pastor when the old ones are gone? Them old men that you talk to down there at your church. When Brother Bradley, some of them guys are gone to preach. What are you going to work with? Where's the commitment at? Everybody look at me tonight. Everybody don't have the commitment of Tom Kessler and Gene Thomas and Rick Childers, Don Johnson, Raymond Alexander. Let me tell you something. Some people that's here working all the time, doing stuff all the time outside. Who's gonna do the little things nobody knows? I look and the people that's here all the time, can I tell you, I count on you to be in your place. I count on you to be in your place. I count on you. I know that it's going to be okay. But when you start leaving and God takes you to glory, let me tell you, there's a hole. We've lost some great men here in the last little while. They can't be replaced. They can't be replaced. Their character can't be replaced. Their integrity can't be replaced. Because I'm afraid that some don't have it. Afraid that some don't have it in them. Because they're already wayward. They're already easing. They're already up there on the edge. Right on the edge. Right on the very edge. Right up there on the edge. Father, help us tonight, I pray. God, help us not to get wayward. Help us, oh God, to stick by the stuff as the ones that got rewarded in David's day. Help us to stand where nobody else will stand, like the mighty men of David. Help us to say, as Joshua, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord whether anybody else does or not. Oh God, help us to hold on to what we have, that we strengthen the things that remain, that we be careful. Oh God, help us. We can't do it. We got to have you tonight. I pray, oh God, that we might be on fire for you. Lord, we got camp coming up. Lord, we got to be right with you before camp ever gets here. Lord, you might shut camp down. We not even be able to have it. What would we do? Would we just keep going?
We got to keep going for you. Help us tonight, I pray. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing tonight. Let's sing.
Just
a wayward church. A wayward church. Oh, we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. We don't want a wayward church. We don't want a wayward church.
I don't want to get cross-waved with the Lord.